certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Scriptures tell us this, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But it doesn't say he did. It says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. We have no documentation from Scripture. We can't say one way or the other. We have no documentation of Scripture, the reality of whether there was healing there found or not, except for one case. Bible continues. It says in verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before God, before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven. Amen. Now, amen. Sunday school class, it'd be common for us to focus on the physical healing of this man, but I'm going to submit to you tonight, I don't believe he came for physical healing. I believe when Christ uttered those words, he got what he came for.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to tell you something when you read that passage of Scripture. Can I say this? You don't find forgiveness of sins accidentally.
Right.
Nor do you find forgiveness of sins incidentally. But could I say this, when this man found forgiveness of sins, incidentally, he found physical healing as well, as a demonstration of the reality to those that were gathered that day, that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power to forgive
Amen.
Sins.
Yes.
Could I say tonight, as we gather together, first of all, my prayer is that the power of the Lord be present to heal the afflicted soul. But could I say this, it's going to be up to you.
Yeah. Right.
Where that healing's found.
Amen.
It's going to be up to you whether you're able to tap in to the work of God, the power of God tonight.
Good.
Brother, you come.
Okay. It's a joy to be here. Real joy to be here. It's good to see everybody out tonight. Appreciate all those that drove in for the services. Well, done broke that, amen. Don't tell Brother Black. He'll take it out of my offering. Amen. So some of you drove in tonight. We appreciate several different churches that are represented here. The local church, of course, Black Creek. Got some folks here from Altman Baptist Church. Brother Tim and I have just ministered the Word of God. And so it's good to see some people want more, ain't it? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is that a blessing?
Amen.
It's good. Well, I'm reminded of that old-time hymn there, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. I'm glad burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ can take care of the sin question tonight. You say, do you know that? I know that personally, amen, because he dealt my heart as a 19-year-old sinner and brought me to the end of myself and showed me my need, and I'm thankful that he saved me by Christ's sake. And I thank the Lord for that. And he can do that for you tonight, amen. Thank the Lord. You say, well, is salvation hard? Well, it's hard on the sinner, amen. But if you'll come on God's terms, you'll find he's meek, he's lowly. He always wanted you to come, amen.
That's right.
That's always what I say, amen. If you're not saved, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. And so you need to come to terms with God, amen. And I'm glad he is a merciful Savior. I'm thankful for that. I enjoyed the time today praying and coming to the tabernacle this morning and praying, and then coming, and me and the pastor spent some time in prayer this afternoon. We enjoyed that, and then the men. So enjoy the time of prayer. Amen. Thank God for that. Luke chapter 16 tonight. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 16. We do covet your prayers, that you pray with us and for us, that God would help us preach the Word of God. Thank the Lord for you. Reed, it's good to see you and your wife. Thank God for this good couple, amen. She's getting ready to have a child here, not too distant future, amen. Here she is in the house of God, in the middle of nowhere, amen. Stephen, he asked me about the meeting, amen. He said, this is really in the middle of nowhere, amen. You have to come to this place on purpose, amen. You don't get here by accident. Amen. You have to come here on purpose. But I thank the Lord that they come. All of you, we thank you for coming out and being in the meeting this week. And trust the Lord to speak to our hearts and minister to our hearts. If you're physically able, we'll stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God. You on the front row, amen. That's not my fault, amen. Hallelujah. But I don't want to really break an ankle, amen, if I go off the back of this pavilion, amen. So notice what the Bible says in verse number 19 in Luke chapter number 16. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. They may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus tonight, realizing the seriousness of preaching, and realizing, Lord, we cannot do anything that could make people ever turn from their sins. It takes the Holy Spirit to apply the pressure on people's lives and show them their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that, Lord, you'd use the preaching of your word tonight. I pray that you'd break in upon us. Wouldst thou not rend the heavens, that the mountains might flow at thy presence? Save the lost and revive the saints. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. dealing tonight with certainly a subject that I do not relish and do not have pleasure in preaching about, but it must be preached. The Word of God needs to be preached in its entirety. And certainly if we have more preaching on this subject tonight, more preaching on hell, someone once said, we might have less people going there. Unfortunately, most people that are alive today, at least those, Brother John, that have come to the knowledge of the truth, most of them are heading in the direction of hell.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. Most of them are heading in a downward path, in a downward slide, heading to the very pits of hell. We would probably be amazed in this arbor, those out in lawn chairs, those there on the picnic table, those there on the overflow tent. How many people under this arbor and these facilities tonight truly know the Lord and are on their way to heaven? But if you're not saved by the grace of God, there's only one other place you're going to go. And you're going to end up in a Christless eternity forever in a place called hell. With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on the doctrine of hell. The doctrine of hell according to the Word of God. I want you to notice in Luke chapter number 16, the Bible nowhere calls this a parable. Some people think that hell is a figment of somebody's preacher's imagination, a figment of the Bible's imagination, but this is not a parable. Jesus did not use it as a parable, amen. In fact, amen, in most of the parables, amen, he did not even use some of the terminology and the language and literal people's names, amen. And listen, even the parables that Jesus spoke, I personally believe, and you could beg to differ, amen, but it probably won't change my opinion, amen. I don't believe the Lord of glory had to make up stories. Amen? Why in the world would he have to make up stories? He knew all men. And I believe a lot of the parables, I personally believe, amen, that he was referring to individuals that he knew, for he knew all men. And by the way, he knows you tonight. And he knows how you stand with God and where you're headed tonight. And you're headed to one or two places, either to heaven or to hell tonight. That's where you're headed. And there is no alternative, amen. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. You're either headed to heaven by the grace of God, your sins washed in the precious blood, or you're going and heading quickly to the pits of hell when you pass from this life. And don't worry about me moving the podium, amen. I'm going to move it all the way to the back before it's over with. Amen. The Bible does not call this a parable. There's not one parable in the Bible where a proper name is used. The Bible does not call it a parable. Hell is a literal place. It's not just a state of mind. It's not just a curse word, amen. It's not just a figment of man's imagination. It is a literal place that burns and churns, and literally it's the garbage dump of the universe. When Jesus preached on hell on different occasions, amen, he probably looked, in several instances, he looked over the valley of Gehenna. You know what that was? They would dump the refuse, and it was a place that was constantly burning, amen. And listen, friend, I literally believe that, listen, hell is the garbage dump of the universe. Seething, burning, churning, amen. And that's where everybody that rejects Jesus Christ goes. And you may think I'm unkind, and I'm not trying to be. That's where they deserve to go.
That's right.
Amen. Listen, hell is not a state of mind. Hell is just a man, more than a man's figment of their imagination. Jesus thought it was pretty important. He preached more on hell than he ever did. Extolled the mansions, extolled the glories of heaven, extolled all the beauties of heaven. He preached more on hell than he ever preached on heaven. And why can't some preachers see the need to preach what the Bible says about hell? Let's look at this tonight from the Scriptures, amen. We see this man was a very rich man, but he did not go to hell because he was rich. And by the way, Lazarus didn't go to paradise because he was poor.
Right.
You know, the sad thing about it, Pastor, the sad thing about it, Brother Tim, both of them were probably Jews. This rich man could have lived during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, probably did, probably knew about the miracles, probably heard about the Messiah, and yet here's it. Hey, it doesn't matter what your standing is. It doesn't matter what your pedigree is. It doesn't matter what family you've been born in, amen. That makes no difference in the new birth. You've got to be born again. You must be born from above. Here's a rich man, and he ended up in hell. You better not let money blind you. It's amazing, amen, how most people will trade in the house of God for overtime, time and a half, and double time. Jesus, listen, was sold out for 30 pieces of silver, was he not? You sell him out for less.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Help us, Lord. That's right, brother.
That's why the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt,
right,
and where thieves broke through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Brother David. Help me out now, brother. Don't freeze up on me, amen. Hallelujah. I forgot to mention y'all's local church, but we're glad you're here. Amen. Don't freeze me out, amen, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. You know that man in James chapter number 4, he thought a lot about riches. James chapter number 4, go to now ye that say, today and tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanishes away? For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this and that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil.
Right.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And it's amazing. Young people being raised in the house of God. People being raised in the house of God. But you wag a little $100 bills in front of them, amen. And they'll sell out the church.
Amen.
And they'll sell out God, amen. I'm not against you making money. Somebody's got to have the money, amen. Somebody's got to pay the bills. And I'm against you putting that before God.
Yeah.
How did this man know he'd get to this city? How did this man know he would continue there a year? How did this man know he would buy and sell and get gain? But I'm going to tell you one thing we do know. Listen, our life's like a vapor. Our life's like a vapor. It'll appear for a little time and then vanish in the way. But young man, you're here today and maybe gone today.
Right.
We used to use those tea kettles. My wife still likes tea, amen. She like her daddy, amen. And likes that tea. Hey, man, I ain't much on tea. Hey, man, I said, praise God, we whipped the British over that mess. Amen. But sometimes she's put some tea down me when I've been sick. Amen. I have stomach problems. Amen. She puts it down me anyway. Amen. And thank God for a good wife. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, friend, you see that little tea kettle and that little vapor coming out, that little steam out that teapot. Amen. It's here and then it's gone. I'm going to tell you, so what if you live 90 years? So what if you live 100 years? What's that in comparison with eternity? I'm going to tell you, you're making provisions now for where you're going to be then. Amen. Where are you going to be 1,000,000 years from tonight? Amen. Rich man didn't care about God. Maybe in Luke 12 it may have been the same rich man. His ground brought forth plentifully, dear brother. And he thought within himself, what am I going to do? I've got all these fruits and goods. He said, I'm going to tear down my barns. Amen. There's a nice barn right down through here. Amen. And listen, a nice old barn. Amen. And a lot of barns around here, they're very picturesque. Amen. But this man said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build greater barns. And he said, there I'll put all my fruits and my goods. Amen. But God said to him, thou fool. Listen, I tell you, you're a fool to face God and eternity and never been saved by the grace of God. You're a fool. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose things shall they be which thou hast provided? Amen. Listen, friend, all the plans you may be making, all the provisions you may be laying up, amen. Somebody else may fulfill those plans. Amen. Somebody else may spend those provisions. Amen. You may never get to fulfill the plans you made.
Right.
Amen. Some of you may have big plans. Listen, riches will waste away with the using. Riches are not forever, friend. They always seem to be out of arm's grasp. Amen. What you're looking for, what you're coveting after, amen. I'm not against you having a good paying job, amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not against you working hard. I've known what that is to do that, amen, and make decent money, amen, and provide for my family. I'm not against that, amen. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that, listen, all they do is covet more and more and more, and it's got their mind off God, amen. They asked one of the richest men at the time, how much money would it take to satisfy you? You know what he said, Stephen? He said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. But here's a rich man, amen. The Bible says, according to the Word of God, he's clothed in purple. Verse number 19, which denotes some type of royalty, many times it did, and fine linen, and every day's a party. John, every day's a party. Every day his lusts were fulfilled. Wine, women, and song, amen. He fared sumptuously, amen. Yeah. If you're bent on going to hell, go ahead and fare sumptuously, because it'll be the only joy you'll ever know.
Yeah, right.
It'll be the only pleasures you ever know. If you're bound and determined, I pray to God you're not. But if you're bound and determined, this will be the only world you'll know any happiness. The only world you'll know any peace. The only world you'll know any solace. Amen. You're heading that place forever and forever and forever that you'll never escape from.
Yeah, sir.
Amen. Amen. We'll sanctify this coffee drop. Amen. I ain't worried about that anyhow. Amen.
Hallelujah. I know a lot of people are hoping I'm going to get choked on one of them one day. Hallelujah.
Yeah, preach it, brother.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you ready to meet God? Prepare! Prepare! Prepare to meet thy God. Amen.
Right.
It takes some preparation to meet him. Amen. You don't get to heaven on your own whims.
That's right, man.
On your own fortitude.
I don't know many good things I could say about hell.
Oh, that's right.
I'm glad I'm not going.
Right.
You say, why are you not going? I'm going the wrong direction.
That's right.
I'm going the wrong direction. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in there. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Hallelujah, amen.
Stay with me, son. Amen. It'll be all right. You can towel off later. We'll go on down the road. We'll give you something. Amen. He's about to have enough. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Help. That's right.
How hard do you think you could preach on hell?
Oh,
right.
You see, I don't really like your attitude.
It's awful. And I don't like all your actions and your mannerisms. Amen. Well, how do you think somebody will preach on hell?
That's right. Right.
I was preaching on the street in Virginia one time. I was preaching on the doctrine of hell, trying to warn people, amen, about that. And some lady, amen, she thought she ought to tell me how to preach, amen. First of all, that's all messed up anyway, amen.
Yeah.
And listen, she says, you need to be preaching these people on the love of God. I said, the love of God? These people will be out here tomorrow on the Lord's Day. They don't love God.
That's right. That's right.
I'm warning them to flee the wrath to come.
Yes, right, man.
You know what? You got to get lost before you get saved.
That's right.
Come on.
You ain't going to get saved till God shows you're lost.
Right.
And by the way, if you're lost, you ain't happy-go-lucky.
Right.
And I'm going to say something. You get under conviction, and then you ain't going to be out here after the service talking about a bunch of nonsense.
Right. That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Be careful. I just want to see you. Amen. Amen. I don't believe you're going to get over it that quick.
That's right.
You tell me you're under conviction, amen, and you're just traipsing down life's pathway, amen, not concerned, not bothered,
right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, God needs to get you under conviction. Listen, you say, well, listen, I'm seeking the Lord. I tell you what, they'd really start talking about this meeting, amen, if God started slaying some folks, amen, and they got down like in old meetings, amen, they couldn't even move on the ground, amen.
Yes.
Then they'd have something to talk about.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. But when they got up, amen, it made a difference in their
yes.
lives.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank God.
Every day's a party. Every day, fair and sumptuously. Don't tell me how much you're under conviction, amen. And then you go right back to the porn sites. The porn websites, amen, and back to the partying, and back to the drinking, and back to the drugs, amen, and all that, amen, hallelujah. I'd like to see a little repenting, amen, before some people get right with God.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'll say it again.
That's right.
Some preachers make it out, amen, it's all right for sinners to fornicate and commit adultery. As far as I know, God meant everybody.
Right.
Not to commit adultery.
Come on.
Right. It ain't right for me to do it, and it ain't right for you to do it, amen.
Amen. That's right, preacher.
Them old time preachers, amen, they get up and preach, stop your meanness, amen.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm kind of preaching like I did in that arbor meeting when you was young, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. fared sumptuously every day. One day, party's going to be over.
Right.
Party's going to be finished. Somebody said, amen, when people get to hell, I don't know if they'll see this sign or not, but they think they're going to have a big party there, amen, and they're going to find out the party is canceled due to fire, amen.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get there with all your buddies.
That's
have a
right.
big shindig.
Right.
Blown up.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, they're going to hate you.
That's right.
That's right.
Your friends are going to hate you.
That's right.
Your friends are going to chew on you.
That's right.
If they can get a hold of you, and when they're spinning around, amen, in the very bowels of the lake of fire, if they could ever get a hold of you, they're going to curse you. They're going to hate you. They're going to grind their teeth on you. They're going to bite you. They're going to hate you. You'll have no friends there.
Right.
Man's rich. This man called Lazarus, he's a beggar. He's laid at his gate. He's begging his pennies and his pence. He's utterly grotesque. He's full of sores. And every now and then, the rich man would cast him some crumbs. It was meant for the dogs. The dogs had more compassion on him than even the rich man did. They would at least lick his pussy, oozing sores. They had compassion on him. Rich man didn't have much time for Lazarus. But one day it come to a point where both of them die. One day, son, it's going to come to a point in your life you're going to pass away. We not only see the rich man's riches, but we see his recompense. See, it's appointed unto men once to die. You got one shot at it. That's all. You don't get a second chance. No karma. No reincarnation. No praying you out of purgatory. That's all a lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Strange to me, Brother John, Catholics teach that everybody gets a chance at purgatory except Baptist preachers. They think we go straight to hell. Baptist preachers have always exposed that Roman harlot church. I'm not trying to be unkind. I know where I'm at. It's even more ingrained up here than it is down south. And I'm going to tell you, you better not believe Satan's lies. You better not believe the lies of the devil. If your faith and hope is not in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to end up in hell when you die. It's appointed unto men once to die. After this,
Peter, the judgment. The judgment.
Some of y'all have watched you tremble. Some of y'all believe we're sincere and tremble in the... You imagine that day standing before the sovereign God of all the universe and knowing you've rejected Him and trembling before Him, knowing you rejected the very Son of God. Here's His recompense. See, the Bible tells us, amen, if thy hand offend thee, you're to cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out.
I'm not recommending you literally to do that. But I'm going to tell you what, it would be better if you're hooked on pornography. And that's what's keeping you from coming to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible talks about that in the book of Proverbs. That, Lord, you know, your sin will bind you up and chain you down, amen. And listen, well, it's hindering you from coming to Christ.
Yeah, sir.
What is it? Is it your eye?
Come on.
Is it your hand? Jesus said, it'd be better for you to pluck it out, cut it off, and enter into hell having two hands, two eyes.
Son, it's dangerous to be turning loose that internet.
Right. That's
right. Well, you teenagers have already got your own cell phones, amen? No. I got news for you, amen. God knows your history on that thing.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not very computer savvy. I'll admit that, amen. And people have had to go through and do so. I'm not talking about a bunch of viruses that have crashed my computer or anything like that. But they probably went through my history.
Right.
I wonder what's in your history.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is it the eyes? Is it the hands? It'd be better. It'd be better. It'd be better. Don't let anything hinder you from coming to Christ. Anything, amen, nothing.
Yeah.
Wicked shall be turned into hell. All nations that forget God. Verse 23 of our text. It come to pass that they both died. Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom. The rich man, he also dies. And he's buried. I don't know what everybody's idea, and I'm not trying to start a fight with you, amen. As far as scripturally, and I'm not trying to start a fuss about your relatives. I know it's cheaper, but as far as scripturally, I believe it's right to bury the body.
That's right.
But I don't know what's going through some people's minds. You know, because people are eerie about those things. All the crosses along the road, were they wrecked? The urns. And I'm not fussing at you. If you've got, and don't understand that, I'm not fussing at you. The urns on the fireplace of ashes of loved ones. But maybe they think, because the body's already burned up, they ain't going to suffer eternal judgment. But it doesn't matter what you do with that body. That soul is what God deals with. I'm going to tell you, when that rich man died, he ended up in hell. And verse 23 says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Rejected the Lord, rejected His Messiah, and he ended up in a Christless eternity. You don't want God? I thank God, God is merciful.
Amen.
And I know the verse, God is love. I thank God for all that. I've experienced that. But some of you that don't want God, God will accommodate you. You'll go to a place where there is no God. You don't like light? You don't like truth? God will help you out. You'll go to a place of blackness, of darkness forever. Amen.
Yeah.
You don't like Christians? There ain't no Christians in hell.
Yeah.
You don't like preaching? You'll hear no preaching in hell. None from God called preachers.
That's right.
Amen. You're getting ready now for where you're going then.
That's right. Yeah.
you're preparing now for where you're going to spend eternity. And you know, for all we do, Brother Abraham, you're going to find this to be true. Been in the ministry for a few years, but you're going to find this to be true. For all you can do, I mean, you can. I've preached sometimes in meetings like this that I've about literally, I did it in Georgia here a few months ago, that I've about literally passed out. But I find out there's nothing you can do to avert some people's destination. They're going to go and do what they want to do. It doesn't matter how hard you preach. It don't matter what text you take. They set their minds to it. And God's going to accommodate you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You better turn if you can. And you better turn while you can.
Right.
There'll be a day you won't be able to turn. Amen.
Yeah.
There'll be a day you'll not hear His voice. By the way, you don't have to wait for somebody to strike a note of an invitational hymn.
Right. Right.
It's a solemn service.
That's right.
Yep. It's a solemn assembly. Somebody ought to break right now.
Yeah, listen.
I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Promise the next day, and you're not promised the next breath. Boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a morrow may bring forth. He that being often reproved. I thought about taking the text from Proverbs 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. God's going to drop the hammer one day.
Yeah.
Without warning, amen, you're going to spill out into the very corridors of hell. Revelation 20 and verse 11 says, and I saw a great white throne. Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. City gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And every man was judged according to their works.
Right.
Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever! Preacher, do you believe in whosoever will? I also believe in whosoever will not.
Right.
And there's some whosoever's in this text. Right. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
How are you standing? How do you stand tonight? Hell's a place of separation. Hell's a place, son, of torment.
Verse 23, he said, being, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Verse 24, the rich man said, send Lazarus, cool my tongue. Tormented in this flame. I don't want anybody to go to hell.
No.
I could not make it picturesque enough. Mm-hmm. I could not paint a gruesome enough picture. Hell's a place of torments. Verse 25. He said, Lazarus said to the rich man, Lazarus being in paradise, now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 28. The rich man said, send somebody to my brethren. A good friend of mine years ago that we fellowship with, he'd preach a message. He preached on one in hell and five on the way. One in hell and five on the way. You say, well, Brother Rose, you don't know whether I'm saved or not. Well, according to this text, he had a pretty good idea of where his brothers were going.
That's right.
And I may not truthfully have all the evidence and may not know for sure how your heart stands. But this rich man said, I'm in hell. Send somebody to five of my brethren.
Right. Yep.
He knew they's on the way. Does somebody in hell know that you're probably on the way?
Right.
You're on the way. You're heading toward the pit. You're going down the road way. You're heading to destruction. He said, lest they also come to this place of torment. Torment. The team, my van should be open. Did you get that jacket out of there? I'm preaching that jacket. It should be in the back. Not only had torment, but he had thirst. He wanted Lazarus to go and somebody dip his finger, just his finger, in water. Drop it on his tongue and cool my tongue. Thirst! Thirst! You didn't want the water of life, did you? You're going to spend all eternity. Listen, I literally believe this man was thirsty and dying, literally, everlastingly, dying of thirst. But you know what? God created you and I in His own image. And I believe somewhere, that I'm not talking about the inner light, I'm not talking about that, but somewhere really down in man's soul, they're searching for reconciliation with their Creator. And hell is a place where you're separated from God forever. Forever from God. Another thing about hell is memory. Lazarus said, son, he's a Jew now, son, remember.
Yeah.
Tim, Brother Tim,
some of the things about sin. If I could get rid of the memories. The memories sometimes. The memories that plague your mind. Young people, don't get involved in all this hell. Shun youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it'll plague you and it'll haunt you.
But you think about the memories of people in hell and the memories that plagued their mind forever and ever. Missed opportunities, mother's prayers, arbor meetings in Blaine, Pennsylvania. I drove 3.5 hours to listen to the preaching, and I didn't get right with God. And I'm in hell. I'm in hell. Forever. Forever. God works with divine providence. I don't know about this. And I don't ask any of you preachers to preach. I'm not gloating or bragging about any of that. I've trusted people that have enough God about them and enough sense and a spiritual discernment. I've waited on them, worked the job, and waited for preachers to ask me to minister to their people.
Right.
You're here by divine appointment.
Right.
I'm here by divine appointment. This is no accident.
Right.
This is not just happenstance. You're here by divine appointment tonight.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's
right. One of the terrible things about hell is you can't get rid of the memory. Son, remember that thou in thy last time receivest thou good things, and Lazarus evil things. You lived it up. And you drunk it up. And you shot it up. And you peeled it up. And you lusted it up. And you waited it out. And you just got religious. But you're still lost. I'm telling you, if you're not saved, you'll end up in hell's where you'll end up.
That's right.
The rich man's remembrance. The rich man's remorse. What is a man profit? He should gain the whole world, lose his own soul. I don't try to be, but I know I'm a novelty. Some people just become because they don't know what I'm going to do when I preach. I don't even have a plan. It's not on the paper, amen. I'm going to tell you, when we get through, you can criticize, you can mock, you can say what you did, but you've heard a message from the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Good.
What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You're losing your soul. You're losing your soul. You're losing your soul. The most valuable possession you have.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
like a season. People again, Brother Tim, run to the altar, plead for refuge.
Yeah, yeah.
Repent in the presence of God. God's going to mete out just recompense on all sinners. So why don't God do something about all this mess? These sodomites, these adulterers, these abortionists. I got news for you. None of them's getting by. And by the way, God didn't even create hell for you. He created for the devil and his angels. That wasn't his primary purpose. If you die without Christ, that's where you're going, sure as this world. Hell's a place of suffering. Physical, mental suffering. Hell's a place of sorrow. Hell's a place of separation from God, from loved ones. It's a real place.
Right.
Real people are going there. Real flames. Real worms. Real torment. Real anguish! Rich man believed more in repentance than a lot of Baptist preachers believe in. He knew if they was going to escape this place, they had to repent. What do you think about all these Baptist preachers don't believe in repentance? I believe they need to repent. They need to get born again. Amen. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Let me give you an exhortation, you saints. At least this rich man had a vision. Do we have a vision? He saw five brethren. We can't even see our neighbors and our friends. Brother Tim, I'm probably as far as numerically. I'm not throwing off, and we've got some good men, some good deacons. Numerically, one of the largest churches I've been to in a long time. Is that not right, Sister Rose? And we'll have an average of 5-6 men out, going out to tell people about the Lord. I'm not talking about going out and getting professions. I'm talking about people with a burden.
Man.
And going out. I was telling the pastor today, Miss Wolf, didn't look good for her. Amen. She's battled cancer, dear brother, for years and years and years, coughing up blood. At least she knows the Lord. Her husband's up in his 80s, not even saved by the grace of God, and saw very little conviction in his life. We need a vision, folks. If this meeting does no more than entertain us, and is a bunch of hoopla, and don't give us a vision for a lost and dying world where you're from, amen, you're a hypocrite. We need a vision. The rich man had a vision. The rich man prayed. How much time do we pray? How much time do we spend in prayer? It's a lot to pray about. I've got 50-some names just of my cousins, uncles, aunts, family members that have no testimony of salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. need to pray, folks. He was concerned. He cried out for mercy. That's what sinners need. They need the mercy of God. I'm glad Jesus made a way. Leave that alone, that'd be fine, son. I'm glad He come to this world. He lived a sinless life, man. He walked and talked among men. But He didn't commit no sins, but He was reviled and rejected. You know, sometimes I wonder, as debonair as I am, and with my magnetic personality, why some people don't like my preaching. But I guarantee you the Son of God never said anything wrong or out of the way, and they hated Him.
That's right.
I could see how my preaching could offend some people. But the Lamb of God, amen, they falsely accused Him. They mocked Him. They railed on Him. They lied about Him. They crucified Him. And you know what? He did that for you and for me. Brother Tim, the Lord helped him last Wednesday night to preach how his soul was made the sin offering. And that was a burnt offering, by the way.
Right.
He suffered our hell for us.
He
became sin for us.
Yeah.
Young ladies, there's no other way but the cross way to get to heaven and escape sin, hell, and death. You must come by the way of the cross. And nobody goes to the cross that don't die. Why don't more people want to get saved? I'll tell you why. You die out to the old life.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
You're done with it.
Right.
When you repent, you turn all the way around. Most people, amen. What they do, instead of a stop sign, they see a yield sign. And they slow down a little bit and then keep chugging down the broad path.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But repentance is a stop sign.
Right.
And a U-turn, amen.
Yeah.
And you go the other direction.
Yep.
God will grant you faith to believe. And thank God you'll be in that Jerusalem way. That's why I said, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm going the wrong direction. I'm in that straight and narrow way. And I've been in that way for over 31 years.
Amen.
And I like what old Brother Allen. Some people say that I'm trying to mimic him. Amen. I can't help it. He's influenced me a lot. You didn't know Brother Allen. Brother Allen was a great man of God. Brother Allen said, Peter, he said it's so straight and so narrow, he never met nobody coming back. And you won't.
Amen.
You won't meet anybody coming
Amen.
Back.
Amen.
We're all going the same way.
Hallelujah.
You've got an opportunity to get in that way. What way is that? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me.
Right.
Pastor.
Oh,